All right, we're going to pray and then we're going to dive right in. So Jesus, thank you so much that you have created a movement, a space and an environment where both men and women have the opportunity to reflect the image of God. And so we're grateful for this opportunity to lean into what you would want to do through your spirit, for all that has happened up until this point, and for the rest of our day and time together as a Foursquare family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My name is Wendy Nolasco, and they asked me to do this workshop, and I tried really hard to get out of it. I was like, I don't know what I have to contribute to this topic. And so then I took my name off of a list, and then they came back and said, no, you're in it to win it. And so they said, now we need a title. And I thought, well, what shall we call this? And so I called it Into the Wild, mostly because leading as a woman is very wild. There's unique complexities. There's unique challenges. There are unique hurdles. And there's not a lot of us doing it. And so there's not a lot of looking to the left and to the right and before you to see a tremendous amount who have pioneered and paved the way. Although in Foursquare, we do have a very rich legacy of which we get to be the beneficiaries of. And so I'm going to share just a little bit from my own story and a couple of things that I've picked up along the journey. And then we're going to open it up for dialogue because today is all about you. It really is to create an opportunity for you to ask questions. There'll be no holds barred Q&A. I mean that. Ask me anything. I'm going to invite some friends to come up here and answer questions as well. We've got some other great leaders in the room that can help field questions too. So we're going to just open it up. So be thinking about whatever it is that you would want to know about anything, really. I might not have the answer, or I might not decide to tell you. You know, that's always an option, but you can ask anything. So just to get a little field of the room, how many of you are senior pastors? You are in senior pastor, co-pastor type roles. Fantastic. How many of you are in supportive church ministry leadership of some capacity? Okay. And how many of you are in an executive role in your context? Yeah, you guys both get to fill that box. I want to give a little bit of honor, first and foremost, to my husband, who's here in the room with me. So much of what I get to do is because this man has sponsored me. He's taken a lot of bullets on my behalf and about what marriage looks like or doesn't look like, about what roles conventionally look like. And I want to just say thank you to you, babe. We couldn't do what we do if you weren't on board. So I love you. I love you, too. I also want to make mention of my pastor who's in this room, Lydia Ranger. She, in my context, is the one who paved the way, and she took a lot of bullets so that a whole generation of women behind her could begin to lead and expand and test and experiment with all that God had put in their heart. So thank you so much for doing that. And my coach, Harriet Maurer, who's in the room. If y'all don't know Harriet, get to know her. She is legend. She's one of the most inspirational people that I've ever met. She walks and breathes with life. And so if you ever just need to be around someone of encouragement, she's someone to get to know. And then La Wendy and Beth, these are both supervisors. These guys have a tremendous load and responsibility. And I got to tell you, you guys are both doing it so well. So as the newbies on the block, we're grateful for you. And then my pastor, James, welcome. The guy behind the woman who helped make it all happen. And then Mike McReynolds. Mike and Miriam, come on down here. We'll scooch. We'll create space somewhere. Is there two seats here? Fantastic. Come on down, guys. Mike serves with me at the Mid-South District office, and he and his wife Miriam are tremendous gifts to us in this season of transition. If you have not heard, I serve as a district supervisor for the Foursquare Church. I serve what's known as the Mid-South District. That encompasses six states, New Mexico, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Mississippi, and the Grand State of Texas. We reside in Austin, Texas. And so... And we really love it. We feel like it's a tremendous pleasure to get to serve pastors. This is a new role for us, and so we're just kind of finding our way, and we're excited about what that could look like for the Mid-South. Listen, if you're thinking about planting, we're taking opportunities for you to come and plant. So connect with us, and we would love to be able to mobilize and deploy new people to the harvest field. So I'm going to share just a couple of things that I've picked up in my own journey as I was thinking and praying about our time together, and then we're going to do some dialogue. First and foremost, I get asked this question a lot, is as a woman, how do you prepare yourself for leadership? And I would say it starts with leading yourself well. Before you can lead anybody else, you've got to make sure that you are leading your own life really well. Stewarding daily decisions for big picture impact. Oftentimes, I'll talk with ladies and we'll begin to kind of have a dialogue about, you know, what is Jesus doing in your life? And there's a hard time to articulate that. Do the work privately so that you can articulate that concisely, clearly, and quickly. Because if you know your big picture vision, then every decision fuels and motivates and moves towards that. Your values drive your time. They drive your calendar. They drive your schedule. And so you've got to be really clear about what your values are as a leader. Second thing on that I would say is craft your skills and run in your lane. I am a terrible singer. I am very musical in my spirit, in my soul, but the reality is I hold no conventional musical giftings. It would be an atrocity to have me being on a worship team. Stay in your lane. If you are not good with kids, don't be in kids ministry. If you are not good with administration, stay out of administration. Get your running lane really clear and stay there. And then be prepared in and out of season. It's really a tragedy, in my opinion, with leaders of both genders when there is an opportunity and the leader is ill-prepared. When God opens the door, it is our responsibility to have been prepared to walk through it. And that means sometimes doing a lot of things in a private, unknown season. And learn direct, assertive communication. Direct, assertive communication. If you do organizational leadership studies, they will tell you, and this is something that we're really learning a lot about in our Foursquare Church, but that by and large, we are conditioned to not look at women as leaders. It's not a prejudice, it's not a bias, it's not a malice at a heart level, but it is a cultural conditioning. And so we have a stewardship to learn the landscape of which we're leading in. So I can choose to be offended by someone's response, or I can learn how to communicate in a way to get my message across. And that is assertive, direct communication. We've got to learn how to communicate with fewer words, really good bullet points, get rid of a lot of the subtext to get to the bottom line so that people can understand what we have to say. The second thing would be this, is I think about rhythms and not balance. I get asked a lot about, we have 3 children, 13, 12, and 5. We lead a district with 119 churches across 1.8 million square miles. I'm married. We have a dog. We have a lot going on. And so I get a lot about how do you balance it all? And my answer is always consistent. I don't. I don't see that modeled in the life of Jesus. I see Jesus being present wherever he was and being very clear about where he needed to be. So much so that he left people oftentimes hungry, unattended to. He walked away from the crowds to be alone with the Father. And so I think about my life in rhythms. And if there is a good rhythm to my household, to my marriage, to my season, to my workload, then I'm a healthy leader and I'm able to keep moving forward and advancing. But it is not equal time. It is not it's not a balanced life that we live. There's a lot of us in our house. There's a lot of different perspectives and opinions and personal lives, and then we have a collective life together. And so think about your life through rhythms. Be attuned to the season that you're in and adjust your stance according to your season. So I'm always praying, God, show me the season that I'm in. Let me be aware in the spirit of what is happening seasonally around me so that I can adjust my stance to be the best person that I can offer in this particular season. Sometimes that means that one of my children needs more of my attention. Sometimes it means that my marriage needs more of my attention. Sometimes it means that, you know, ministry needs more of my attention or a particular section of my life. And so we've got to be really malleable to the seasons that we're in. Third, I would say, is really important, ladies. Underscore, highlight this. Keep the honor code. Andy Stanley has a quote that says, public loyalty will buy you private leverage. I really try and live and lead out of this. Keep the honor code. Hallway conversations, sidebar conversations, that other meeting after the meeting conversation, how we steward our voice in those moments, I believe is much more important than how we steward it on a platform or with a microphone. So we've got to keep the honor code towards our leaders. We all have a leader. And then we have those that we lead. I can't tell you how many pastors I meet with that say, oh, my people just don't. For me, that's an indication that there is a spiritual dysfunction at a root level because people do how they are led. You only can reproduce who you are. So if you're honorable in your leadership, if you're honorable in the stewardship of your voice, if you're honorable in how you speak, when you're frustrated, when you're angry, when you're offended, when you're overlooked, that gets reproduced in those that we lead. And so I would say it's one of the biggest challenges because a lot of women were verbal communicators, were verbal expressors. Sometimes we are externally processing our own thoughts. So we've got to have safe places, like 2 to 3 tops, and they can't be a rotating 2 to 3. Like, let's pick your 2 to 3 and, like, go the distance with those 2 to 3. You know what I mean? So we don't go like, oh, we got 3 this week, and then we got 3 next week, and then by the time you count the month, you have like 52 people in your 3. Well, now we've just spread toxicity 52 times over. So those are kind of just a couple of tidbits that I would just share with you from my own experience in life. And then I want to invite, I don't know how we'll do this. Can y'all stand? Are you good to stand? James and Mike? Yeah? Come on down. I want to invite these two men up, and we're going to do some Q&A, and we're going to do a little bit of dialogue with you guys. They both have held very significant roles in leadership with me. I felt it was really important for this conversation to show the duality of how do you lead alongside of men. Strong men, rightful men, gifted men in their own right. But what does this look like? And so this is a unique context. So I have James Ranger, who served as my pastor, my mentor, and my coach for many years. And then I have Mike McReynolds, who serves with me on the district team. So he serves in a supportive role to me. James served in a leadership role to me. And so this kind of gives you a little bit of like an opportunity to kind of look at this thing 360 degrees and begin to poke and prod. And we might not have answers for you, but we're going to give it a good whirl. So we're going to open it up for Q&A. Love, can I give you this mic? What do we do with this one?
Talk into it. It works like this.
Do we have another handheld?
Oh, no, I love it. Don't steal one. Please.
It's his jam.
Yeah.
Do we have to stand here? Awesome. So then you guys can come up here when the questions are up for you. All right, so we're going to do Q&A. Just
ready,
raise your hand.
Aim,
we're going to just
fire.
Answer whatever you guys want to lob our direction.
That's scary.
It is. But this is what makes it
awesome.
Fun.
Awesome.
If I walk away from this, am I going to get in trouble? No?
Okay.
Wow. I'm going to do really good to see
okay,
you.
Okay, my name is Ashley Graham, and I work at Puyallup Four Square Church as the elementary pastor.
Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you. Recently in my ministry, we've gone from having no men serve in our ministry to a plethora of men, and it's an amazing thing, but now, in the course of, I'd say, 5 months, it's just been men, and I'm suddenly the only woman amongst my team of men. And I'm a little uncomfortable about it, and I'm like, where are all the ladies at? And just wondering, I never thought I'd be in a position, how do I recruit my own kind of, like, how do I recruit women? Like, is it something on me? Is it something on my leadership? How do I be appropriate? Is it, I'm just worried, and maybe this is just the enemy, but that it looks awkward and weird that I'm leading just a big group of men. Like, I can't invest in them very well. I feel like I can't go out with them because it's weird because I'm this single woman with all these dudes. Like, I feel like there's a barrier, and I want to know if you've ever experienced that. Is that something that's normal? I just feel so awkward. I'm like 23 years old, like, this is weird. But anyways, shed some wisdom, please. That's all.
Okay, so let's recap what I think you said. Ashley from Puyallup, you're a children's leader.
So like kindergarten through sixth grade, fifth grade, fantastic. And you have a gender concern that your ministry is predominantly being led by men. I would say fantastic, thank Jesus, that you have that dynamic going on in your church, in children's ministry. Wendy Beach said to marry one of them. It's a great fishing opportunity. Hi. That's so awesome of you. Thank you. Okay, so have I ever been in that dynamic? Yes. I often sit in, I serve currently on a national team. I'm the only woman. So there's 11 supervisors. I'm the only chick. Anytime we meet, I'm still the only chick. Anytime we travel together, I'm still the only chick. So this is very normal for me. And I would say this, steward yourself well. And then, you know what? Gosh, that sounds terrible. I don't even concern myself with what critics are going to say about me. I've had so many critics for so long that it becomes white noise. So I'm really serious about mission. But if you're noticing that you need to be recruiting more women, then just be intentional about that. You know, just like if you had a vacancy in your team that you needed to recruit, then just be intentional about that. But the concern of the why you're being motivated to recruit women, I would really press on that and just say that don't stress about it. Don't stress about it. You know, the kingdom of heaven is, I believe, best led by men and women and mutual submission to one another, and specifically in children's and youth ministry. How fantastic to have men stepping up to the plate. So I would celebrate the heck out of those guys, tell their stories, brag on them publicly, and just really advance all that God is doing. Y'all want to add anything about the whole gender and the traveling? And
well, I've never heard of that problem, so that's awesome.
So you got to get to the mic.
I've never heard of that problem, so seriously, that's an awesome problem to have. I have nothing to add.
That was it.
Who are you? Where are you from?
Oh, my name is Erica Moyer. I am from Bakersfield with New Life Church. It's Wendy's old stomping grounds. really quickly, Wendy, so you're obviously a really great leader, and I know that you've been in an arena where you're able to, where you've led women and men. Can you tell me if there's a difference in the way that you lead men and women? Is it the same? Is it a different perspective? Do you address it or come at it in a different way?
Yes. I started out 26 years old leading predominantly male teams, men who were old enough to be my father. So Mike and I lead together now, and he gives me grief about this because he's actually old enough to be my dad.
Older than your dad.
He's actually older than my biological father. See, look at that, getting some love. So, yeah, I think you do need to lead differently. You know, thinking about it through the context of what you're leading. So it has to be about mission and kingdom and not gender. That's a really great starting point. So don't lead something that's not women's ministry like you would lead women's ministry. Be attuned and attentive to the context of what you're leading. And I would say be prepared. I really try and honor people's time. You know, be prepared. If like right now this room is full of people, I think about your time and your investment being here, and we want to steward that really well. But in terms of how I lead, I think I lead women and men the same. But the filter of which I think about leadership is specific to the context and the role in which you're leading. So right now I happen to lead senior pastors in different communities. But I don't think through, oh, I'm talking to a man or I'm talking to a woman. I think through, okay, what is their assignment? What is their role? What is my proximity in leadership and relationship to them? And I lead from that filter. If you've not had experience leading men, it is a unique skill set to begin to learn, and you've got to really sort out your own insecurities. You've got to really sort out all the stuff in your own soul so that you don't lead out of your insecurity, so that you can lead presenting a whole and healthy human. Anybody else? We should have brought Jeopardy music. Do 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 do.
My name's Melissa Brotherton. I'm from North Rock in Colorado.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi. I am looking to begin developing a network of women leaders in our district, and also with a pipeline of developing younger women leaders. And part of my wrestling with it is I've always shied away from doing it specifically for women, because I feel like as a women leader, I don't want to necessarily just go to a women's thing. I want to be trained alongside the men. And I, like you're saying, you don't necessarily see a difference. But in your experience, in what you, in your development, have you found it is essential to have a women-only leadership development system, or is it better to have it be co-ed?
Both and. So I think statistically our trajectory in the Four Square movement shows us that we don't have many women appointed to senior pastor type roles. So until we resolve that tension and we can say we look across our family and we're seeing this being a life-giving, fruitful pipeline where this is happening naturally, I think it is both and. Personally, I feel a stewardship as a woman leader for all of the women that are coming behind me. And I think a lot about like the junior hire, the fifth grader, and developing them so that they don't have to go through some of the hurdles that I've had to go through. So I do think that there is a stewardship on my life for women because I am one. Just like for these guys, there's a stewardship on their life because they're men. And so there's something unique about that. So I think it is both and. James actually leads the... It's a subcommittee of our board. Actually, no, it is a committee of the board. It's the only committee of our board of directors regarding women in ministry leadership. If you're not familiar with what I just said and what that means, our board of directors governs, helps us govern the corporate side of the Four Square Church. As long as I have been in Four Square, I have never heard of the board having a committee of the board. There are multiple subcommittees of the board, but this is such a value that they've said, no, the board is taking this on, and he's one of our board members, and he leads that committee. So share with us.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this initiative, and because I don't think that we're going to do a lot of just talking about it. There's going to be action. There's going to be traction. We've done enough talking about it, and we have a resolve from our president and then from Tammy. There's a huge resolve about Four Square does not need to be behind. We need to be on the front. And so that's exciting to me, and this the team that we've put together, gosh, it's just incredible men and women who believe in this value and have lived it out, who are living it out. And because we don't want people to just be there talking. We've talked enough. So we're going to do something about it. So, but to your question, Melissa, right? About how do you coach, mentor, co-ed, or, right? I don't know. This is a strange thing about New Life through the years. This year, we've been there 30 years. And through the years, Lydia and I have just, we've worked together. Lydia discovered that she had a teaching gift. She's a great singer and all that, but she discovered she had a teaching gift and a calling to be a pastor, teacher, about 20 years ago. And real quick, but her story is that when she got up the first time to speak, 12 families got up and walked out. So you just have to be aware there's just silly people out there. It's just, it's the way it is. But that forced us. We didn't set out like this initiative. We're going to embrace women in leadership, and it just happened. And then along the way, we've started just developing women in leadership who had leadership gifts. And I didn't really see the other. You got to really separate the men from the women. It was really about me finding people with a spiritual gift of leadership. They just happened to be women. And we had the dudes too, and we've raised up a lot of leaders and sent them out. And it's a joy for me to do that. So anyway, so through the years, I was forced along the way to begin to think through that. But we have leadership development groups that are men and women. I actually have one team that I started this year. It's really exciting. They're all executive women, executive leaders who are women. There's 16 of them, and that's out in the marketplace and in our church. And we meet, and it's the coolest thing. But I'm the only guy. It's weird, but it's just, I think if somebody has the, I'm not about quotas. I'm not about, you know, we got one guy, so you have to have one woman. I'm about who's anointed, who's called, and if they're gifted, then just spend time with them. And there's protocol. There's things you do, and, you know, you can do co-ed. That's why for all the male pastors in the room, by the way, I wish there were a whole lot more. Drop the mic. The only way we're going to turn this around is to make sure that the lead pastors, the males, get them in these conversations. So where was I going with that? Anyways. Oh, a passion point for me is that there's no excuse. There's no excuse for men not to be mentoring women. There's some issues, sure, but they're not deal breakers. You just got to make sure there's proper settings, you know. And when I would never mentor a woman one-on-one. It would be, no, it's just, you just don't do that. That's just silly. But you do mentor, and you find men and women and do in groups, absolutely. Oh, yeah, yeah, I do that a lot. In fact, my executive team, two are here. I don't know where Camilla's at. But my executive team at New Life are all women. Our music leads, we have six campuses. Our music leads at all the campuses are women. It wasn't intentional that way. It wasn't at all. It just happened to be they were the called and they were the anointed. And so when I meet with the music leads, obviously they're all women, but I don't even think about that. They're just, that's what they do and it's what I do. And so anyways, I just say don't overthink it. I think we overthink it. And there's, and if you're looking for the problems, you'll find them. No.
Hi, y'all.
Hey.
I'm Joanna.
Hi, Joanna.
I'm from 25 miles away in Kent. I go to Renton Christian Center in Renton, Washington. Grateful for it. I want to hear from the guys. I am trying to work forward on what I feel like the Lord is calling me as a leader, but I can identify with Wendy, I think, if I can read your identity right. I'm a tall, loud, outspoken woman. So I want to hear from the guys. What are some qualities and some ways in which you see women lead that allows you to draw closer to Jesus? And conversely, what are the things that we need to be more gracious with ourselves on, need to be more careful with, so that we don't get in the way of the men finding Jesus too? Because I'm here in the Lord, and I'm like a freight train, and I just I want to make sure that I'm doing the right things.
Yeah, that's really good. I think, you know, for the men in the room, just being secure in who you are and knowing that you look, you know the scriptures, everyone, but Paul says you look at older men as fathers, younger men as brothers. You know, you look at older women as mothers and younger women as sisters. And when you have that perspective, it's a kingdom perspective. But let me encourage you, your vision, your passion is what draws men to you. The thing that endears me to this woman is who she is in Jesus and the confidence that she has in her own identity. And it, you know, gender never even enters into it. You know, it's really the passion for Christ, and it's the kingdom vision of what we see. And I think that's the thing that we're going to see our district transformed. You know, the Mid-South is historically, well, it's the South. I don't have to say much more about that, right? And the very first thing people shared with me when we introduced her to them was, well, she has two things against her. And I thought, oh, here we go. Well, number one, she's from California. Number two, she's a woman. I said, okay, well, you guys have to get over it. Is it kingdom or is it not? And so I would just encourage you to really be who you are. And be unafraid. Don't apologize for who you are. And just, Jesus is the champion, right? Let's lead people to Jesus and keep that vision focused.
Could I put my two cents? As somebody who's tall and loud, and I'm very much all in. So if I'm not in there, I let it be. But if I'm in, I'm all in. And what I've had to learn is that, like, God has definitely called me, but he's also called me to humility. So, like, I need to know, I need to be fully convinced that he called me. And so I need to practice and learn my patience. And so if you're called into a ministry, it's exciting, it's eager, I'm loud, I like to get things done. I want to go in like a freight train and let's go. Get the people on board and let's roll. But God is teaching me patience and humility and that I don't know what I don't know. So whoever I'm submitted under, I need to be eager to learn and I need to be humble, which for me is very humiliating, but I'm learning it. And so it's something that I wrestle with. But it's very fruitful for me.
So my wife, Lydia, is not tall.
But
she is loud. She is loud. And I would say this, that, again, if we overthink it, that's where it gets complicated. Because if there's a lot of guys, men, leaders, who are tall and loud and freight trains and all of that, and they have the same issues, that you need to earn the right to speak, steward your voice, if you're a man or a woman, and the louder you are and the bigger personality you are, the more you have to really work at that. Because when you do get the mic, you get the moment to speak, you get the chance to really lead, you're going to be able to be loud and proud, and you're going to be, and Wendy, I love this about her. When she became the campus pastor, it's interesting. She took over the campus, was about 250, meeting the high school auditorium, and immediately a lot of the guys left the campus. They just did. And she had every opportunity just to bow up and get mad, and she's Cuban, so she will cut you. She will cut you. So she has to really suppress those feelings and her voice. She had to just really bring it to Jesus and bring it to her toxic friends and that received the toxic stuff. And she talked to Lydia and she talked to me, but she didn't bring it to them. And here's why. Because what ended up happening is she just held her tongue, and publicly. And all of a sudden, you saw men rising up all around her because she was just being the leader. Just, you don't have to prove yourself. Just be who you are. And, I get it. As a female leader, you're going to have to take some hits. You just are. It's part of the game. There's just real silly people in this world who don't get it yet. But Wendy was a pioneer. Lydia was a pioneer. And now we have all these women leaders rising up just naturally. It's not forced. So just leverage your voice and realize your moment will come. And when it does, then you can be tall and proud and loud and just let her go. And not apologize either.
For first Sunday in the new building, how many people were there?
1,700. On a practical note, for both the men and the women, I would say just a leadership principle. Know the right time, the right place, and have the right motive. So if you're going to have your voice be heard in a meeting, in a conversation, in a dialogue, in whatever it is, have the right time, have the right place, and have the right motive.
And the moment will come. I need to say this, because the moment will come that you will have to be the bishop. You're going to have to be the leader and confront an issue head on and don't back away from that either. Well, I'm a woman or I'm a, this lady here, I've seen her in situations where she's done all the processing and you try the conflict resolution that at some point you just have to be the leader and say, no, you aren't going to do that on my team. So there is that point. You'll get there and Just don't cut them.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to say this the best way. I'm trying to. Like,
what's your name? Where are you from?
Oh, my name is Bailey, and I live down in Tacoma, not too far from here. So I don't know if I'm going to say this exactly right, but I'm trying my best to get this out. This is just a kind of a plea for encouragement as women in leadership. But I heard once this story that in the lion kingdom, women, the women lions can fight off predators that come, and the man lion's just like relaxing there. And then when he gets kind of pissed off a little bit, he'll get up and he'll roar, and then his roar is so loud that they will go. And so the women, like, they have to gather together, band together to be able to get the predator away. But the man, with one roar, will make that loud sound. So help me with this connection here. But as humans, men do socially have that huge voice, right? They get up as leaders. People are recognized them as leaders. We have to kind of combat that as women, in a sense, in the social construct. As an encouragement, when I'm asking for that, like, concept, what do you think it is? What do you think women bring specifically? Because we are different. What do you think we bring as leaders? That is, that is a thing that we bring. We may not bring the big roar, but what is it? Pardon my shaking and everything, guys.
Good job, Bailey.
Well, I would say for me, I think that we all bring a unique kingdom contribution. Each one of you in this room, you bring a unique kingdom contribution. So I will never be like this man over here or like this man over here. But I've got to figure out how God has wired me, shaped me, and then excavate those gifts and bring that offering before the world. There's only one me. There will be no one else like me. There will be no one else after me that is me. There will be no one like you. And so I don't know that it's as much about gender as much as it is about our unique kingdom contribution. And not all women don't have a roar. I've been in many boardrooms where I will have a loud presence, oftentimes more so than some of my male counterparts. So I have to steward my voice, my authority, and leverage my influence appropriately. So I would say that to both men and women is learning who you are. If you're not loud, if you're not bold, if that's not in you, don't try and be that. You offer something unique, but just as much as I can be strong and be direct and be intense, I can also weep with my pastors and share their burdens and begin to be a minister of reconciliation. So I think that if we kind of take off the gender side of that and begin to really learn who are you, who has God created you to be, and use that offering as your unique kingdom contribution, it really truncates gender. Because I have met men who are very quiet, very mild-mannered, and it's unfair for me to expect that because they're male that they need to have a loud roar. Right. Yeah. I'm dishonoring who God has created them to be. No more than I would want them to expect me to be something different than I am. So I think we honor humanity by celebrating our unique kingdom contributions. I don't know if you guys want to add to that.
So I think that you, as a female leader, bring a lot to the table. And I agree with everything Wendy just said. But I do say, in my own experience, that the most loyal staff members that I have, the most... They're just there. They're productive. They're loyal. Their leaders are. And again, I'm not discounting the men at all. I got some great. By the way, Bill Cheney, who is now the district supervisor over the district, came out of our church. And if you know Bill, Bill's a strong leader. Very. This is Beth down front. She'll tell you he has a loud roar sometimes. Big roar. So it's not about. But I'm just saying, my experience has been. There's something that a female leader can bring to a team that a lot of male pastors, they're missing the other half of the labors for the harvest. And actually, they're nicer sometimes, right? They're definitely prettier. Well, I wasn't talking about you. I mean, Wendy was never called the nicer leader. But anyways, but the other part of that is there is a maternal thing that you bring to the game, the leadership game. And it's not either or. I'm just saying you want both the paternal and the maternal. But there's a maternal thing that a woman leader brings to the game that is just needed and valued. And it's, again, I think that the church is missing this other half by not having that maternal person. So I don't know. Anyways.
I am concerned about Bailey. I'm Wendy Veach, and thank you all for being here and being so gracious to my husband and I, who both of us have a loud roar. So, but I want to say something here. And I'm going to go back to when I had babies, and I had babies in the 70s and the 80s. And here's one thing I realized as my husband was gone and in Bible school and doing extra jobs and in ministry, and he wasn't home a whole lot. And I remember women around me in the church saying, well, when your husband gets home, and I'm right off the shirt tails of the women that would say, wait till your father gets home, because then you're going to really get it. And I was not going to be that mom. And I believe there's a correlation here as women in ministry, because we're not going to wait for the man to make that decision. We are women. We are strong. We have our own roar. And I think with any nice outfit, we can make any case do really well, okay? So here's what I'm saying. What are you roaring about? How important is that roar? Where do you want to go with that, and what do you want to have accomplished in the kingdom with that? So that is the level of your roar. And sometimes we'll roar at those children, and daddy doesn't need to come home because mom's going to take care of it. We don't need daddy come home and take care of it because we're the mama at home.
Deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, you're going to bed. You're hungry? It's too bad. You know, you just have to. Now, I'm a school teacher, and you know, people say, well, you're kind of a strict teacher. I say, yeah, but everybody learns. And there it is. Right.
Come on.
Everybody learns.
That's good. I don't hear that.
Just a real quick question. I'm relatively new into the leadership role, and my question is does...
What's your name? Where are you from?
I'm sorry. Grace Campbell from Lifebridge Church, Indiana.
Welcome.
My question is you had mentioned Harriet being a mentor and so forth. Does Foursquare have mentors available? Are there women available? I don't know about the committee that you're forming or that is currently in place, but are there women available who are ready to step up and say, I'm willing to be a mentor? For other women leaders.
I will say, I don't know specifically in your church and in your context, but I will tell you we are here to serve you. So if you can give this man right here your email, I'll personally connect with you. And if I can't personally do it, we will find someone in your region that will be available to you. There are women all over the nation. Harriet has served as a coach to me, which is different than a mentor, and I will draw a little distinction to that. This man right here served as a mentor. He deposited into my life. He taught me things I didn't know. He put tools in my belt that I didn't have. Harriet was a coach. She drew out of me what I didn't know was there. And so I think you need counselors, people to help you when you're brokenhearted. And if you're in ministry leadership for 2.5 seconds, you will become brokenhearted about something. If you don't tend to your broken heart, you're going to seep bitterness. So if I could just implore one thing to all leaders is tend to the condition of your own soul. So counselors help you do that. As pastors, we don't oftentimes have a lot of safe places around us. A counselor is someone that you can pay for confidentiality and sort out all your business. A coach will draw out of you what you didn't know was in you. They help you clarify your values, your contributions, all of that. And a mentor will deposit into you what you need in your belt to kind of get on about business.
I don't know. I have one more question. Jeanette Mulhouse from Bakersfield, California. And this is kind of on the practical side. With all this Me Too stuff going on in the world, I'm afraid that some of the men are going to be afraid to support and bring us on team to be with them because of the fear of, oh, my gosh, I'm going to say something wrong or whatever. So there's a practical side of how do you be with them? How do you travel with a man that's not your husband? And, you know, the mere appearance of and all of that stuff that goes along with that. So I wonder if you just talk about that a minute.
Michael, you want to take this one?
Yeah, thanks.
I'll just say two things. I'll give it to you. wear one thing, give it to you. That's real. It's real, and there's a lot of the Me Too movement I am absolutely for. There's another part of it I'm absolutely against. But the part that I'm for is, you know, it's obvious. But there's been a backlash within even our Foursquare church. And it's interesting because the initiative that we began was 1 year ago with Women in Leadership, and we're going after it. I mean, there's like, what, 19 recommendations that we've made to the board. The board accepted. We're now going to put action to it. And so you're going to see a big shift in Foursquare. But the Me Too movement has absolutely caused some senior pastors who are either neutral or not really for it to really pull back. That's a reality. It's had an international impact. I just did a video with Tammy last Saturday to send out to all of the international pastors that deals with women in leadership, because what we're hearing from the field out there in the nations is that because this has happened in the States, these other pastors around the world are pulling back. So we got to really be proactive, and it's a real issue, Jeanette, as you know. So you have to be wise to all the, especially male pastors. You have to be really wise in how you interact with female leaders. You don't put yourself in compromising situations. You just want to be wise. But Jesus had women who traveled with him, and a lot of people forget that. That was unheard of in that culture in that time. And Jesus, I'm sure, got a bad rap. You know, that he had these women who were disciples who followed him and traveled with him and the dudes. So I don't think we need to back away from that at all. In fact, if anything, let's move into it, because I think we've got the answer. And that's why I say Foursquare, come on, guys. We need to lead the charge. Who is our founder? My gosh. And we got a story to tell. So, yeah, just be wise. We have three tests that we go by. We teach it every year to our team. And just if you're going to be serving with a woman, there's three things you're always asking yourself. And one of the things is you got to make sure that, you said it, Michael, are you treating her as a sister or as a mother? And Paul, by the way, when he said that, like a sister in all purity. So there's always that thing of, well, you know, the thing of being alone with a woman, if that's been amplified, I think we have to be aware of that. I don't overthink that either, but you have to be aware of that. Another test that we ask is, with what I'm saying to this woman that I'm serving with, would that be something I'd be willing to put up on the screens of the church on Sunday morning? That kind of helps you know.
Yeah, would it be something you'd be willing to say in front of your wife? My wife's here 35 years, you know, and I don't know, I've never even, I just always looked at her as my sister. And she is my, well, for the first time in 30 years, I have a boss. I've been a senior pastor in ministry for 30 years, but now I work for Wendy. And so that's, you know, challenged me in a couple of places of just, am I secure with that? Am I okay? Well, I know who I am in Jesus, and I am attracted to leadership, people that are unafraid of who they are in Christ. And I think that just being confident in your call of God, with God, and your family situation. For single people, you just have to be a little more cautious. You have to be very aware of circumstances and situations that you would put yourself in. You know, I want to say something that's kind of off topic a little bit, but we're facing an incredible crisis in senior pastors. We have a lot of senior pastors that are my age or older that are going to transition out. And look, I'm looking at a room full of potential senior pastors, ladies. That's how we see you. We need you to step up and be who God has called you to be and be unafraid. And so I just want to encourage you in that. You know, don't be afraid to be who God's called you to be. You know, in his eyes, there's no male or female. We always remember that he looks on us, and he looks on us all the same. So,
practically, just to supplement what these guys have said, Lydia, Miriam, and my husband are the pace car for leadership. So we can lead collectively, side by side, to the extent that our spouses co-sign it. once they say, hey, you know, I'm uncomfortable or the schedule or whatever, then you got to pay attention to that. So you lead, you know, to the extent that your spouse co-signs it and is aware and is on board. And that will be unique and different in various seasons. But if your spouse is saying, hey, I need you home, or I need, you know, I'm not comfortable with that person, I have to really listen to that. So there's a freedom here because our spouses have said yes and amen, you know. Right down here and then up here. You guys have had your hands up. Over here. Perfect.
I'm Matina Hawkins. I go to Grace Church in Federal Way, Washington. And I am a single woman leading in ministry. And I think that there's this kind of view of marriage that we as a church put on a pedestal. And I'm curious, as a single woman leading in a ministry where I feel like, yes, I would like to be married at some point, but God has done a lot of work in me intentionally to be very intentional in the season that he has me in, and that's not really something that's on my immediate radar to be married. So how do I communicate that well and in love, and how do those married ministry leaders support me as a single woman?
Yeah, so that clear, assertive communication is really helpful. This happens to all people, I think, just culturally we do this. So when you're single, the question is, when are you going to get married? You get married, when are you having a baby? You have one, when are you having the next one? So you have to just be really clear about your communication. Hey, it's not on my agenda, my radar in this season. I'm all about mission and the kingdom of heaven, and I would love for you to come alongside and support what God is doing in this season. That kind of solidifies it, and you don't have to be ugly about it, but you help people by what you tell them, and we don't know what you need until you share it with us, and so people around you can support you by you communicating what your needs are. Let's come on this side. There was one here and here. These guys have been waiting for a minute.
Hello, my name's April, and I'm from East Hill Foursquare Church down in Gresham, Oregon. I'm the director of the preschool area.
Awesome.
And I've been blessed recently with this huge influx of student leaders, and I have 12 to 17-year-old, like 15 of them, young women. And I've been watching them lately start to take a step and then back up. And I'm wondering, how can I help them just step into the calling that I'm watching them receive?
It is? You know, I think the most powerful statement that you can make as a leader is, I see in you. Made me cry.
See, it's your running lane.
That's your fault, actually. But the power that you have as a leader to look at the young life and say, here's what I see in you. I mean, that gives life. It's prophetic. It's powerful. We have to be discerning to what the Lord is saying and what he's doing in that person. But most people have never had someone say to them, I see in you. And then when you say, I see in you, it opens up possibilities for them. And I mean, you have to be discerning, hear the word of the Lord. But when you hear that word, the Lord, and it's like Wendy is the perfect example of that. When she had been estranged from the church for a long time through a lot of her early adult life, she makes her way back to New Life, and it's just immediately she began to get involved, and we would ask her to oversee certain things, and just they would grow and thrive. And after two or three times at this, I met with her and Sal at Black Angus Restaurant because I'm a big spender. And I had the conversation with Wendy. I said, here's what I see in you. Would you be open to a conversation about developing as a leader? And they both sat there, big eyes, you know, like, oh, my gosh. But it began her on a journey. And to see what she's done now in the last 12, 13 years is just astounding. But it begins with you saying, I see in you. And then from that, then just the Lord opens up the doors. You can develop and all that, but it begins with that. Yeah.
We're going to do one more question because I want to save some time to be able to pray over you guys.
I'm a really big believer. I love that we're doing workshops, and I love that we're learning. But this whole conference is about transformed by Jesus. And I think that you're here by divine appointment. And so we want to be able to spend just a minute to be able to minister and pray over your season and where you're at. So I don't, you get to pick where the last question goes. Awesome. Already done.
I'm also Wendy from Gresham East Hill Foursquare. My question for you, you started out about those who have gone before us and all the bullets they took. What bullets should we be prepared for to have our armor ready for? And
talk about a bring it home question.
And especially, how do we prepare for the bullets that are coming from other women?
Okay.
Those are cannonballs.
I think we need to be realistic about the landscape of leadership. There is no great leader who has not undergone significant opposition. And I think that is for both genders. But there are unique bullets that you as a female leader will take. And I think you need to be prepared for that. There's nothing that will prepare you for the pain that you will experience. So no matter what I tell you now, you'll never be equipped to walk through the pain of your own journey. But I will tell you, every offense, every critic, every opponent in my journey has been an opportunity for God to cultivate a deep character in me. So my attitude is this: I plant my feet and I stand with my arms wide open. I'm not backing down. I'm not backing up. So you're not going to get territory. I'm going to plant my feet. I'm immovable in what God has called me to, but I'm keeping my heart open. Which means I have had to, we just came off tour in our district. We went in every region. We've got 7 regions, 1.8 million square miles. And I sat publicly and repented and asked for forgiveness for things that I have never done. Why? Because I need to bring people on the journey with me. And if there is pain in their heart or offense in their heart, I've got a choice. I can be offended and defensive and list you all the reasons why this is not my problem. Or I can just say, you know what, I'm going to live unoffendable. I'm going to plant my feet. I'm going to keep my heart open. I'm so sorry that that happened to you. Would you forgive us? Can we move forward? Man, to watch people. To watch them receive redemption for things that they've held on to for decades. Things that have limited the flourishment in the body of Christ. I'll take bullets any day. Critics. I mean, I've had a lot of critics. I'm leading in the South. I'm a minority. My parents weren't born in this nation. I learned English second, and I'm female. There is nothing on paper that would say this is a good idea.
And you have a subservient husband.
Whatever. So this is what happened. We showed up at our fall conference. The air was thick with conflict. I mean, it was palpable. You could cut it with a knife. So here we come. And a gentleman, well-intended, loving, legitimately, I do not believe to this day that there was any malice in him, but you don't know what you don't know. So you can only reproduce what you've learned up until this point. And so he looks at my husband, publicly declares, I didn't think I would like you, but you know what? You're okay. You're a strong fellow. And she, what did he say? How did he say it exactly?
When I heard that we had a woman supervisor, I just had to come to see who she was and who this subservient husband of hers was.
That's what it was. So what do? You plant your feet and you keep your arms open. I'm so glad you've come around. We got 5 years together. Let's go.
You know, the way that I have fielded that question, and that resistance has just been, okay, guys, let's just look back to who founded the group that we're a part of. Let's just look at the scripture and let's just see what God is doing. And so you have a choice. You can either embrace what God is doing or you can stay where you are. It's all, God's always future focused. It's for the kingdom of God. The church is the only organization that exists for those that are not yet a member of it. And we get so inward focused, but God has a bigger vision and bigger focus. And we just have to keep our eye on heaven, the prize, and how many people can we reach? And be unafraid to be who you are. But I've just challenged people, hey, look, you know what? You're going to have to move beyond that, or either you're not Foursquare. You sign a document every year if you're a licensed minister in Foursquare that you embrace this. So wait, are you having a personal conflict within yourself? Let's move forward. And so I just want to just encourage every one of you. Don't be afraid to be who God's called you to be.
That's good.
By definition, being a leader is scary. It's cutting edge. Cutting edge sounds great, but when you're cutting the edge, you're over the edge. There's no gender. So you're called to leadership. You have to have faith. You have to be convinced that you were called for this. And you have to be convinced that you're not the only leader. You're leading leaders. So when you see him backpedal, it's about relationship. He's got a relationship with you. He's holding you together. I can't hold me together in those edge moments. He holds me together. So when I see somebody behind me starting to back up, I hold them together. You can do this. I saw you step out when nobody else stepped out. I love that. I need that kind of support. You're on my team for that reason. And so we got to pack up the bus and we got somewhere to go. We're Foursquare. We're a movement. We're a movement. And I'm sorry that other people see gender. I don't. I see opportunity. So I don't want this opportunity to leave without knowing that leadership is scary. Yes, it is. It is. Get over it. Get over it. Courage. Courage is not having scariness. It's just moving in spite of it. So I hope that we can encourage you all to get over it, because you're all leaders. And when you get over that bridge, you'll be able to look back and see people with you. But it will be scary. Leadership is just the goose that's willing to stick its neck out a little bit further than the rest of them.
Your critics will come around too. If you're called by God and you're anointed to do whatever it is that he's called you to do, you stand in one place long enough and they come back around, and you just got to make sure that you keep a bridge available, that you don't want to burn bridges. So you got to live unoffendable. You got to live unoffendable. Okay, we want to pray for you guys, and I want specifically, I'd like for James to pray for those of you that are male senior pastors that are in this room. If you're a male pastor in this room, I believe that this man has something to impart into your life. And I want to publicly say thank you for being here and commend you for being in this room and engaging this dialogue. And then I'd like for Mike to pray for those of you that are women leaders. And I want to pray specifically for those of you that are female in this room who you feel like you have a call to senior leadership or executive leadership, that unique kind of point of the spear, you know, top level leadership role. And so would you lead us in a prayer over the guys?
I will. So Father, thank you for the power of your presence. Thank you that you're here in this moment. Thank you that you are the one as creator who made them male and female. And before sin, there really wasn't all these differences that we've created since the fall. But thank you, Jesus, that you redeemed it at the cross. And at the foot of the cross, there's neither male nor female. It's just the called sons and daughters of God. I pray for these pastors that are here, these male pastors, that the power of the Holy Spirit would ignite inside of them a passion to see with fresh eyes, to see with fresh eyes the giftedness all around them, that they will be sponsors of female leaders that are rising up. the young, the old, the in-between, but all the female leaders that you're raising up in these last days to help them to see it. It's there. It's there. Help them see it. And then to be the sponsor of it. We pray that your Spirit in this moment would deposit something of heaven in their hearts. In your strong name, Jesus. Amen.
Father, I just keep thinking about the cross. I keep thinking about as Jesus, Lord, was there before you, that he looked to John and said, John, behold this woman, she's your mother. And he looked to Mary and he said, Mary, behold your son. That he entrusted the one human relationship that he had to John, but to John, to Mary, he entrusted John. And I just feel at this moment, Lord, there are women here that you have called out. You have set your hand upon them, Lord. And so there's an incredible sacred trust that has been commissioned and commended to them by your hand, Father, not by the hand of man. And I would just want you in this moment, Holy Spirit, to begin to water that, to begin to nourish that, that these women would begin to be confident in who you have called them and ordained them, created them uniquely and powerfully to be. And Lord, that their lives would even be a testimony of your great grace and your incredible mercy being shed abroad in this world. So Lord, I pray for them. The Lord, every fear, every anxiety, every resistance that they encounter would be overcome by that incredible sense of call. That they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's you're the one that set your hand upon them. And Father, I pray for them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of that call and to be useful tools in your hand for your glory, for your praise. In Jesus' name.
For those of you that are in here and you are a chick and you feel called to senior leadership or executive leadership, district supervisor, that kind of point of the spear leadership, and if you feel that call on your life, would you just stand to your feet? And for those of you that are around them, would you just lay your hands on them, surround them? Make sure that everybody has somebody. And so, Jesus Christ, we submit these women before you, God, as empty vessels for you to do what only you can do. Holy Spirit, would you pour out an anointing on their life? For the call that you have placed in their spirits, God, would you create opportunities where there are no opportunities? Would you create doors to open where there are closed doors? Would you create men in their life who hold authority and position to be able to advance and elevate what you want to do in their life? So, God, I pray that you would excavate the gifts in their life, that you would see them to flourish. Where there is opposition, that you would turn it around to be a partner in the kingdom of heaven. May they see their dreams come to pass, and may they be bold enough to live unoffendable. May it be so in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, ladies, for being here. And the guys, I want to say a big thank you to the dudes. Man, you guys are awesome. It's been a privilege. Thank you so much.